I really have not worn a mask in 2 years. I did at the beginning, just like everybody else.
No, I refuse.
You just, yeah. Refuse.
I fucking have massive respect for China.
Oh, yeah. Why? Conservatives, they love whiskey and they love cigars. I like tequila and weed. So, you know, what are you going to do? Nobody's perfect.
Obvious power grab of someone having power over someone else from what was really fucked up, you know?
I mean, I met Trump with my husband at Mar-a-Lago.
Is that the most twisted part of human nature that we've
Because you're a wolf.
Here?
You're a wolf and most people are sheep.
All right, this is a friendly reminder that anything that costs you your mental health is simply too expensive. This year, it's time to invest in yourself and finally relieve your ongoing stress, anxiety, and sleeplessness. Learn how to easily improve your mental health and well-being with Headspace. Headspace.com/Wolf's Den. Hey, Jordan Belfort here, the Wolf of Wall Street. Welcome to another great episode of the Wolf's Den. Got a good friend of mine here. It's a repeat customer. New resident of mine here in Miami. A good friend of mine, Dave Rubin. What's up?
What's up, Belfort? You know, you sold me a couple penny stocks last time, and I said I'll come back. Let's see what happens.
I want to hear a question. So answer my question. Ready? Why? Why? I'll tell you. You show me yours. I'll show you mine. Why did you move to Florida? We're both living in LA, very close to each other, right?
Yeah.
I made the move first, but what caused you to move here?
I mean, why not is of course the answer. Like, the place was crumbling. We all know it's crumbling. Everybody has seen it. It's about, I would say, 3 years behind San Francisco in terms of just full on dystopian sci-fi, just, you know, rich people that live in awesome places, poor people that are basically trying to get their food and just nothing in between.
Who's, you know, playing the fiddle there? Who's like Nero? Who is it? Is it like Garcetti?
I don't know. There's nobody in LA. I guess it's Garcetti, or, you know, there's just like this giant image of Gavin Newsom that's like projected across the city in the sky or something like that. You know, very Blade Runner-esque something. But, you know, and everybody knows it, California has just become an abject disaster.
No, it's unbelievable.
They don't police crime, the drug use, the homelessness. We both have stories of friends that have been either assaulted. We know people that literally that have been killed. There was the crazy story of the girl in the store last week. But for me, I mean, the few
Brea,
things.
Like, I mean, right?
La Brea, like, right?
It's like a main road. I mean,
that's right by Rodeo Drive. Like, that's what Beverly Hills used to be. But for me, the thing that actually like broke the camel's back, like the final straw, was, you know, I campaigned with Larry Elder during this recall, and he is a good man. The system just treated him horribly. Yeah. Los Angeles Times, he's the black face of white supremacy. All of the evil shit. Biden showing up a day before the election, refusing to say his name, calling him a Trump clone. This is a guy born in South Central LA, son of a janitor. You're calling him a Trump clone. Like, just like all of the evil shit. And then 3 days after the recall failed, and it failed miserably, and there's probably a lot of reasons for that. And, you know, you could, if you mailed in your envelope, you could see his name or yes on recall. Either way, you think maybe somebody could have screwed with that. I'm not saying that's what happened.
But I don't think that was enough of it.
No. I'm actually not saying that.
But why do you think the recall? Okay, so, you know, I have a lot of friends that were very active in the recall process. And there was a while there it looked pretty solid. Then a couple of things happened where he was giving out some money to people, right? First, didn't they give checks out to people, I thought, or there was talk of money being given out. Like, there was a couple of moves he made where it's like you're buying, almost buying votes. What do you think actually happened?
Oh, that Newsom did, yes. You mean? Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Larry.
No, he gave some money out to everybody.
Oh, yeah. He literally, if you would get injected, he was like handing out $100 bills or something. He was going to fairs. And it's like, what psychotic world do we live in now?
You're like, what?
I was going, man, if Larry Elder was giving out money, I didn't get a dime. Yeah, he was giving out money for people to be injected, and he gives it out, and the way he tweets about it and talks about it, it's as if he's the king, right? Yeah. Like we're in Robin Hood, and he's the king, and he's giving the poor people something. But first off, it's not his money. Yeah. I mean, it's your money. It's your money. He gives you back pennies on your dollar,
right?
And he wants you to, you know, to thank you for it. But what happened was, 3 days after the election that I campaigned with him, I got audited by the state of California. And then total coincidence. Because it's not like these people have a track record of doing that sort of thing. Lois Lerner at the IRS with Obama. And I was like, okay, that's it. We're wrapping this up. And I sold my house so fast. I had to talk to all my employees like you. I've got, it wasn't just me leaving. you know, I have family and a dog and the whole thing. And I was just like, we're out of here. I talked to my real estate agent. I was like, I don't, because I also felt like, and I'm sure you did too, it feels like it could truly collapse at any moment.
At any moment.
And you don't want to be the last guy in Dodge where a ton of my friends have left. And then you're the one guy like, oh no, I was staying around a week because we had to tie up some shit. And then, you know, then the market collapses and now I'm in debt trying to leave and everything else. So we just made it happen like that. And now I'm seeing all my friends, all my LA friends, they're all here.
It's interesting. So I remember when I first moved to LA, I loved it. It was like this amazing place with like perfect weather, great people, a lot of like a melting pot of people.
When did you move to LA?
It was in 2003.
Okay. When I moved. So you were 10 years before me.
2003. And I just remember thinking like, this is okay. The taxes are really insane here, but you know what? There's a lifestyle here that's really special. And you had just this great sort of mix. I thought also that there was like, you know, areas of with no money, but it seemed like it was all working and there was a lot of opportunity around. And then I don't know how it went so wrong so fast. The only parallel I can draw is I remember New York City at its worst in the
Dinkins. 70s. Oh, okay. So even before that.
Well, Dinkins, but here's what I remember. The turning point. You know what the turning point was? It was, you can love him, you could hate him, but it was when Giuliani started arresting the squeegee guys.
Yep.
He started with life.
We're Long Islanders. I remember going through the Midtown Tunnel and those guys standing right there.
With these sort of crimes, lifestyle crimes that they were impeding on. If you like spit, you go to jail. Anything that was sort of like these sort of public nuisance crimes, you just immediately got arrested. He took this incredibly tough stance. In the beginning, I was like, wow, it's not. And then you just magically watched like everything else follow.
Yeah.
Like when petty crimes start getting prosecuted, it's interesting. If I wouldn't have seen it myself, I would have thought it was insane. But when I look at LA, it's almost like when I heard they're no longer arresting shoplifters.
Yep.
They're letting people just remain on the street, you know, in front of homes. And it almost has to progress badly from there, right?
I think you're totally right. You know, people think it's like all of this, like there must be some big stuff that's happening that's bad first. But I think you're right. Once you start telling average people, well, hey, rules don't matter. New York City, you can jump the turnstile right now.
Correct.
So what you're saying to good people, the good, decent guy who works his job, who's not making a ton of money, but gets on the subway every day to go to Midtown, you know, from Harlem or wherever he's coming, you're saying to him, you're a fucking sucker, man. You're a sucker. You pay your toll and we're going to let everyone jump. And not only are we going to let them jump, but then if an officer approaches them, we're also going to allow them to resist arrest. Do you know that in LA now,
well, because okay, of this guy so Gascogne,
you can resist arrest.
You took the words. The second thing I was going to say was a lack of respect for the police.
Yeah.
Like I grew up and I was told, like, you know, you just obey the police. Like, when they stop you, and I'm not saying the police can't be corrupt and
of course.
They're not racist pigs, some of them. I'm not saying that's not true, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes when you see a situation, you're like, why didn't you just, like, if they said, like, let me see your license, just show them your license. Like, there's something so it cuts both ways here.
Yeah.
But I look at it, and to me, it seems pretty clear what happened. It started with, you know, I think the real flashpoint was the whole Floyd thing, right? And at that point, it suddenly became okay to do whatever you wanted in these sort of considered menial crimes, right?
Yeah.
Like these lifestyle crimes where people were just, whether it's stealing from a store, just, you know, jaywalking, so to speak, although I'm careful about it.
We're New Yorkers. New Yorkers, you can jaywalk. It's tough here with the way these freaking people in Miami drive.
So I'll tell you this. Here's the interesting thing about jaywalking. So in New York, everyone jaywalks.
Yeah.
It's considered,
it's not a thing, right?
When my kids moved out to California first, my daughter was like 9. And she would see me jaywalk in New York. After 1 year in California, I was just, Dad, what are you doing? You can't. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, you can't jaywalk here.
Yeah.
I'm like, why not? She goes, you can't do it.
Well, I hope you really shut it down since you moved to Miami because, Miami is like, I mean, if there's one, I love this place. I have had a great month. I am so happy to be here. It's amazing. But if there is one crazy thing about Miami, I mean, the driving here, because, you know, it's such an international city.
I know.
You got the Cubans, the Venezuelans, you got everybody coming here. They all have their own driving customs. So it's a video game out there, basically. It's kind of fun.
So just to close off this loop here. So where do you think, so you're right, you know, you're fleeing almost for your life, you feel like, right? Where do you think it goes? Do you think it goes all the way, or is there some point where it's people say no mas?
No, and no, it gets done? Much worse. For, think about it. Like, Jordan, you and I have pretty good lives, like pretty freaking good lives, right? Like your life literally is like a dream for people, right? Like with all the ups and the downs and everything else.
Exactly.
But like, it's like people look at your story and are like, holy cow.
It's American dream.
What a freaking life. We also come from basically the same town pretty much in Long Island. So like we have a certain view of the world, which we talked about last time on your show, about like why we think a certain way, proximity to the city and all that.
You know, we all say fine, we don't really mean it. Fine isn't really an emotion, is it? I mean, how many times have you told yourself you're fine when all you've really felt is anger or sadness or nervousness? Headspace is scientifically proven to help you manage your feelings and your mental health. In fact, a recent study proved in just 2 weeks, Headspace can reduce your stress by 14%. Whether you want to relieve stress and anxiety, sleep better, or improve your focus, Headspace is your everyday dose of mindfulness for real life. However you're feeling, try Headspace at headspace.com/Wolfston and get 1 month free of their entire mindfulness library. This is the best Headspace offer available, so go to headspace.com/Wolfsden today.
The problem with what's happening in all the blue cities, particularly, it's the states, but it's really the cities. So LA, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, and all that, is that the wokesters and the leftist policies that are driving this stuff, and that everyone's racist and you can break laws when it's, you know, in the middle of the George Floyd thing, remember, we're in a pandemic, you can't go outside, but you can, if you can protest outside, then Lori Lightfoot can rip her mask off. They have chosen that their political ideology supersedes everything else. It's a cult. It's not a holistic way of looking at the world. So because of that, there is no policy. You could never come in. If Giuliani tried to come back right now, and was, you know, going to New York City right now. I know, I remember that too. I mean, we're about the same age. I remember that.
It was like, a shocking transformation.
It was a shock. And they said horrible things about him. You know, he's mean and he's a Republican and he hates poor people.
Crime dropped to zero. It's like unbelievable. But murder, now, rage, everything.
But now it wouldn't matter. When they would show results now, they would use those results as proof of how evil he is.
Yeah.
The system, these systems are going to collapse. It is going to get much worse for our friends that are
What's
still
his name?
There. Trust me, I did not. You've been to my house. I didn't want to leave my house. I've been to your house. You didn't want to leave your house. But
is only Snake Plissken going to have to go in here to rescue the president? After
wait, that's Judge Dredd?
Which one? Snake Plissken's from a New York, Escape from New York.
Escape from LA. Snake, yeah.
Snake Plissken.
Yeah. Well, basically, yes. they're going to be in some sort of
dystopian future.
Total Recall combined with Minority Report and a little Scanner Darkly and a bunch of other sci-fi stuff. But it's not going to get better for a while. And you know what? If that's what you guys want, then that's what you guys will get.
I have sort of an overarching theory on this, which transcends this to just like people and life and history, is that every time people think that the ends justify the means, bad shit happens.
Road to hell paved with again?
Good intentions, right?
Yeah.
It just seems you go back, you know, if you even go back to Hitler. I mean, every time they have this, you know, they're doing whatever they're doing because the ends justify the means.
Yeah.
Bad stuff. It never ends well. And I think that so much of that. And also the sad part is it's all a lie. It's all being hijacked by people. One thing I think that Malcolm X had correctly is the
real
biggest enemy is the white woke liberal is the biggest enemy of black people. I saw a great, you know, video today. Oh, it was on TikTok, I'll admit it, but it was on TikTok, right? And it was a guy, I forgot his name, Bernstein, whatever his name was, and he was up on the campus of Berkeley, and he was going around interviewing people, white people. Okay.
I think it's Ami Horowitz. The guy you're talking about. Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, what do you think about, voter ID laws? Is it racist? Oh, yes, it's inherently. Why? Because most black people don't have IDs and they don't know where to get them. Do you think it's racist? You know, they won't even know how to go to the internet. And there's 30 white people and they say these demeaning things as if blacks are like these subhuman, like with respect.
Joe,
Like, as if those, like, because we love black people, we know they're so stupid. They can't find motor vehicles. They don't know how to get on the internet. They don't have access to the internet. And they don't have IDs, because why would blacks have IDs, right? And it's like 20 out of 20. I know you probably only showed the one. I'm guessing it was probably 24 out of 25 said this, right? No. Then he goes to like all the common black people.
Yeah.
Do you have an ID? Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah. Do I have an ID? Of course. I mean, how could you walk around with an ID? And said, yeah. You know what, Mobiles? 24th Street, more than me. They know 24th and 30th. Yeah. There's a left over there. And there's everyone. Do you have access to the internet? She's like, wait, I have unlimited minutes here. I'm like, what are you talking about, my phone?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? Like, we can't get ID. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, but Jordan.
And it just highlighted the evil. It's evil what they're doing. It's fucking evil, okay? And I wonder, and this is, you're really up on this more than me even, what do you think the real, is it just a power grab and nothing more?
Well, first, I would say on the ID thing, I mean, it's like, the same people who don't want you to have an ID to vote want you to have a vaccine passport to go to McDonald's to get fatter. I mean, really think about that. That is really true. If you were to ask those 20 people that he showed in that video, I've seen it. If you say to them, okay, it's racist to have an ID, but is it racist to have a vaccine passport? No, you have to have a vaccine passport. Well, so yes. So look, so what's really going on there, right? Because it's like, as you know, when I toured with Jordan Peterson, he would always say, well, you got to give the devil his due. So do we think that these people are just like retarded or evil or whatever? It's like, probably not. Some of them are really misguided.
It's a bad
some
word,
of them,
by the way.
Which one?
Retarded.
Yeah, I it's okay.
Me too.
It's okay, one word that I just feel it's I'm fine. Not going to let go of.
Exactly.
And I mean it the way the word is technically defined, yeah, retarded. Yeah, yeah. If something's retarded, it's backwards. Yeah. It never gets to its volition.
Exactly.
You know, like, I don't mean it as I'm making fun of a mentally challenged exactly. person. I just mean it's retarded. Right, we all know what I mean, right. But I know. I say it on my show sometimes, and my guys, my producer Michael, he's always nodding, saying, stop saying retarded. Yeah. I can't do it. I can't.
No, me too. Because I grew up with a word. It didn't mean anything, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Again, we grew up in Long Island. People said retarded. It's okay. We grew up with a lot of retarded people.
We sure did. And then you're still retarded, right? And not one
most of them.
And they all have an IQ over 100.
They're all still there.
Barely over 100.
So the question, though, is like, so what's really going on in their heads, right? Like, what's really going on there? So I think it's basically you've got the brainwashed masses who it just sounds right. America's evil. It's racist. It's this weird guilt of success. Everyone in America has a better than their grandparents. Almost everybody. It's almost impossible to hear of a story unless your grandparents were oil barons and then the whole thing blew up and now you're, you know, probably middle class or something like that.
Well, you're one of the idiot grands or great grandsons that destroyed like the trust fund. Yeah.
Right. Like that kind of thing.
Common,
but pretty much everyone in America has it better than their ancestors. That has been the story of America.
Anywhere else in the world, by the way.
Our poorest people are middle class in India. I mean,
exactly.
So I think it's this weird Western guilt that we've done it right. We've done it right. You can come to America and live as you wish. But as you have that, comes a weird thing about human nature, this thing about controlling people. And I think if we learned anything in the last 2 years, it's like, man, people want to be controlled in the most twisted ways. The other thing that was driving me crazy about LA was going to the supermarket. And I really have not worn a mask in 2 years. I did at the beginning, just like everybody else.
No, I refuse.
You just, yeah. Refuse. So I just couldn't do it. And everywhere I'd went, I'd be yelled at going in.
We had fights about it. My wife and I,
because she wanted you to do it?
Not that she's pro-mask, but she's like, can you just debate? I'm like, no.
So that's exactly.
I have to say no mas. I'm sorry. Like, I went to buy Ramoa luggage, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted a piece of Ramoa. And I walked in there and it was just so typical. I walk in there, there's like two people in the store, right? And the guy's waiting on me, just a nice guy. And there's some girl, I think, okay, with colored hair. And she comes across the thing. You need to put a mask on. I'm like, I'm sorry. I've had COVID twice. I don't have it right now. In fact, I just tested myself because I'm taking a suit. I'm leaving. So I had to test to leave to go overseas.
Yeah.
She said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm coming. I said, if you don't want to sell me this luggage, that's really fun. I'm sorry. And I just
and you walked out. Good for you.
She says, how could you do that? I said, watch out. Marissa, I need a piece of luggage delivered to my house. Go and go do anything but Ramoa. I'm like, I don't care what it is. If it's less than money or more money, I refuse to ever buy a piece of Ramoa again. And it, to me, it just represented power. It was like a fucking sheer,
yes,
obvious power grab of someone having power over someone else for a moment. It was really fucked up, you know?
That is it. we have shown that you can just exercise power over people, and most people like it. That's the thing. The outlier.
Okay,
you're
so the outlier. This is true. So I guess the question is, why do we accept it? Because most people like it? Is that the most twisted part of human nature that we've
Because you're a wolf.
Here?
You're a wolf and most people are sheep. I mean, that's really...
I guess so, right?
So I didn't realize until the last 2 years that I'm a fighter. I have never considered myself a fighter. I don't know. I'm pretty agreeable. I like people.
You are, yeah, you
but,
are
but I didn't realize that I want to fight for the right things and I'm willing to do it and I'm willing to stand up. And so when I've gone into these stores, same exact thing. The only time I've been asked to wear a mask in a month since Miami, I walked into a Ted Baker store over on Miami Beach, right here. And it's the only store that the guy said, could you put on a mask? I said, I don't have a mask. They won't even let you in now in Apple. They're literally not letting you in at Apple. Yeah. So I'm whatever.
I just go online. I won't do it. Right. Shame. I love that product. So I had nothing. They got me by the balls.
No, I know. They
I
have
just
a
won't
song.
Go in, but you know.
But they've got us. They've got us. It's like, but so the guy says, well, I'll give you a mask. And I said, I just looked at him. I said, hey, not to be a dick. This is exactly what I said. I said, not to be a dick, but I'm not going to shop at a store where they make you wear a mask. And I just walked out. And it's like, so at the store you went to, what is it? It's fancy luggage. What do you call it? Romero?
Ramoa.
It's okay. But that's
decent luggage.
That's
whatever.
The wolf's luggage. But at Ramoa, Ted Baker, it's like, these are employees of a store who they most likely, they obviously don't own the store. So now you're a worker at a store. Now, because you don't own the store, the sale actually doesn't matter to you. Right. And you're most likely not working on commission.
Correct.
Maybe you are, maybe not. Probably not,
in this case,
right?
Not.
Right. The guy's not making a cut of the Ted Baker shirt I'm going to buy.
No problem.
So what
incentive
you have other than you can just exercise power over another human being? You can make your work a lot easier because now you don't have to freaking wrap anything. You don't have to put it in a box and bag and everything else. And it doesn't make a difference to you because you're getting paid either way.
They were so happy.
Yeah.
When they made me leave the store, they're like, to them, it was like just a fucking moral victory on that part.
Yeah.
And it's really sick. Let me ask you this question, right? Of all of this, when you look at this, I think we have some perspective now a couple of years into this. Who is the most evil doer of them all in this whole thing? Is it a Fauci? Is it a Biden? Is it the CD? Who do you point? Is it...
I think, Fauci's the easy answer, right? Because it's so obvious that he has lied so many times. And not only lied, it's one thing to get things wrong. And science, not only does science evolve, but you have to balance that with public policy and what people will tolerate. And also a certain amount of unknown and all of this shit,
fair
right?
Enough, right?
So I for a long time, if you watch my show from right when this thing started 2 years ago, right? You know, it was 2 years ago now. So 2 weeks to flatten the curve is now 2 years. You watch my show at the beginning. I was very open. I wanted to have Fauci on. I was very willing to that first month I'm doing all the stupid stuff with the gloves and I had experts on and all that stuff. But if you look at his emails, when they leaked all those emails from him, and you know, basically like 3 months in, he's telling friends who asked him about that are going on vacation, do we have to wear masks? And he's like, well, actually, it doesn't really work and kids touch their face more. So there's really no point. But meanwhile, he's on TV saying wear masks. And now it's 2 years later and they're telling us the masks don't work. So what's the answer? Put on N95s and all live like a freaking bounty hunter.
Here was the interesting part. And this is what, I don't know if this disturbed me or in some moment I said, all right, at least I got it if this was true. There was a moment in time where the narrative shifted to, the reason I said don't wear a mask is because there was a shortage of masks.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that? They tried to pull that one briefly.
Yeah, yeah, because we needed the healthcare workers to get it. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
All right, so that goes back almost like, you know, we can't let people know the aliens are among us because they can't handle the truth. So like, wait, we can't handle it. You can't just say, guys, you know, you gotta be careful. The mask, you know, the mask gotta go to these people, put something over your face that's not a mask. It's like, so that fell apart really quickly. But other than that, so you say Fauci's the easy target, but is there, or you think it's just like a collection of, it's almost like the narrative, it's almost like the press collectively, like CNN, like all of a sudden, okay, let's no longer be fear mongers. They decide one day that I guess the ratings are so bad now and it's like no longer makes sense. They suddenly want to shift.
You can depress people for so long, but then at some point they're going to start killing themselves and then you don't have viewers. So I think that they've sort of realized now. But also, you know, the other part that I think shifted the narrative in the last couple of weeks is that over Christmas when everybody got COVID, including me, my entire team got COVID, when everyone got it. Now, I'm not vaxxed, and that was my personal choice. And I had actually never said it publicly because I didn't want, I thought it was fairly obvious if you watch right. my show that I was always saying it's up to you. And if you're young and healthy and take care of yourself, you right. know, whatever. But I didn't want to actually say it in California because I honestly felt I'm already an enemy of the state because of fucking Newsom. And it's like, I don't know what these people are going to do if I go into a store without right. the mask, even though you're supposed to wear the mask. But now they also know I'm not vaxxed. Like, I didn't know what they were going to do. So it wasn't until I got here, I got COVID. And then I felt I should tell my audience, you know, I got COVID. Guess what? I got monoclonal treatment in about an hour here. I got ivermectin. It's not horse paste, by the way. And right. I survived. You know, I had leg aches, as I told you before, for a couple hours.
Right.
But I think
And your partner?
No. So he was sick for about 2 weeks. He definitely had hit him a little bit longer. He's still getting some weird headaches and things, but he'll be fine. And also, he doesn't, we talked about it this morning. He doesn't regret it either way. You know, so what I was going to say was the reason the narrative shifted, though, is because he's not vaxxed either. But because during Christmas and into New Year's, when everybody got it, remember
that? If you were vaxxed or not.
It didn't matter. So suddenly the narrative was collapsing right in your home because it was like there were homes where one was and one wasn't, and everyone was getting it. And guess what? My brother, who's 3 years younger, he got it. I got it. We had comparable symptoms. He's boosted and whatever. And that was his choice, and that's just fine. So I think what it caused is it was like, it wasn't like reading a study and being like, oh, this many people got it. It was like,
oh. Watching it play out in real life.
We were all watching. So I think that's why in the last couple of weeks, I think something has really shifted. The bullshit is not, it's not passing anymore.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, clearly, it's just whatever happened to this virus, it's not as deadly as it was. Like, I've seen it, like, firsthand. People are getting it and not getting that sick. Yeah. You know, they're getting, yeah. you know, it's like whatever. It could be some people, of course, can get sick because, like, you know, everyone's, if you have higher risk factors involved. But I think that on some level, when I look back at the whole thing, it seemed to me pretty obvious that I got some of it wrong, I'll admit, because I said, all right, as soon as Trump's out of office, though, the virus will go away.
Yeah, and I kind of thought something wrong. Like that,
I thought
too.
That. Yeah. I guess at the end of the day, and I never thought the virus wasn't real.
Yeah.
I knew it was real because, you know, I got it early on. My daughter got it. I knew it was real. I knew it hurt. You know, some people died from it. But I just, you know, the level of, to take it where you're going to lock healthy people up versus locking the endangered people up just never made any sense to me. And I think the only country that really got it right was Sweden.
Yep.
The only ones that really stood up to all the pressure.
Yep.
They're the ones that got it right. But, you know, ultimately, when I saw what's happening right now, you look around and why won't they? And this will really, I think the one thing that drives me crazy, why don't they talk about natural immunity?
Because this has become some sort of dystopian pharmaceutical
It's really,
nightmare.
No, but it's like really, like, no, how could of course. They not talk about it?
They don't talk about it because they want everybody on basically a subscription booster model. Subscription works, man. You know subscription works.
But and how could this be? Oh, there's too many smart people. And I have to believe that there's people on the left that are not fucking evil.
No,
of
course.
Good people on the left. Why doesn't someone speak up and say, wait a second, this doesn't. Listen.
Well, there are. Look, Rand Paul's talking about it. I mean, there are a couple of people talking about it, but I get your point. Like, why isn't it really? But I think it's partly because everyone went so deep on this. You know, it's like when you go so deep on a conspiracy or you go so deep on whatever. It's like, man,
consistency with
you got to go down with the ship. And I think that's what it is. So many. How could you look at some of these MSNBC people who, when Trump was warp speed and they were saying, who could trust the administration? Who could trust pharmaceutical companies? I mean, watch Joy Reid, who should be in a freaking mental institution. Who could trust the CDC? Who could trust the NIH? These are evil people. They're going to kill all the black people. Now she's screaming, you better get vaccinated. And at what point would they not do some seriously? I mean, you mentioned the Nazi thing before. At what point, now that we, like, let's put it this way. In the last, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, how did the Nazis come to power? It's really, we know the story, right? Like, we know the
now
story.
Now you know how humans allow it to happen.
But now you know how, and that is a lesson that maybe that's the silver lining of all of this. Those of us that are awake, that are paying attention, we learned something very dark about human nature. And now we have some tools to hopefully stop it next time. I mean, I'm trying to take that as the lesson.
Let's switch gears for a second. Something really interesting. When we were, last time around my podcast, I think it was before the election, right?
Yeah. It was definitely before the election. Yeah.
And I remember we were saying that, you know, we had some big, both of us shared some really big fears, right? Number one, the guy's moron, obviously senile. Everyone knows that now, right? Everyone knows that. Yeah. The left knows. Everyone knows
yeah,
that, right?
Nobody talks okay. about no, it, everyone, but everyone okay.
It,
yeah.
Right? And it's getting worse by the day, right? We spoke about that, you know, it would be sort of the end of democracy as we knew it. Of course, I kind of had a feeling that the mansions of the world would stop that. I always, whenever, I think one thing I brought to you, I said, the Supreme Court always self-corrects. Mm-hmm. You can't make the Supreme Court too far to the right because one judge will flip back to the left because they know it's really about, it's really almost about protecting the collective soul of the country. And mm-hmm. the Supreme Court is notorious for never going too far one way or the other. And also, I kind of thought that, you know, that because they tried. They tried to pass freaking stuff that was from Manchin and now what's the name from Arizona.
Sinema. No, thank God for the two
these
of them,
people
basically.
Protected yeah. the democracy. And I yeah. got to give them credit for that,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
But one thing we spoke about was the economy collapsing. And look what's happening right now. Like, we're actually watching it happen with rampant inflation. Right. I mean, and you know, what are your thoughts on that? Like, you know, to say that we really spoke about this and we yeah. got some things right yeah. and some things wrong. I think the things we got wrong were things that we, you know, you couldn't have predicted. I had a feeling, but let's say a Manchin coming in there and saving the day. What do you think about like the economy where it is right now and the impact it's going to have on the midterms?
Well, first on the first part about like sort of roughly getting things right. My only sort of Rubicon for how I judge people right now, the people that are in our world that kind of talk for a living and try to help people understand the world. My only Rubicon right now is like, did you roughly not come across as a crazy person in the last 2 years? And if you did, you're still good in my book. We've seen so many people. I'm sure people that we both know that probably we were maybe friends with at one time.
My mother.
My mom's also. I'm like having all kinds of stuff there. But I'm talking about, that might be a Long Island thing, but,
my mom should listen to this episode.
My mom should not listen to this episode. But you know what I mean? Like we watch so many people get so many things. It's not that you get some things wrong. I'm not an expert in pandemics, but like if your whole set of values just got flipped and crushed and every prediction you made was off, it's like, we got to move past these people. But if you basically stayed sane in these 2 years, I give you some credit. Our conversation, good 2 hours, like we were pretty good. Yeah, we didn't nail everything and nobody does. As for the economy stuff, I mean, I don't think, it's sort of unimaginable how bad it got and how quickly it got. So this is more your territory in terms of the markets and all that stuff. But I did not, like, where we're basic, what are we at now? Like 8.7% inflation, something?
7% plus. And I think it's which they actually say is, higher.
Yeah.
You know, and they have this thing that's X fuel, X food. But to me, I think real world inflation is probably over 10% just from what I see, what I feel, you know?
So what people don't understand about that is people say, oh, there's 10% inflation. And people are like, well, it doesn't really matter or something like that. Like life's, everything's okay. But it's like, that means if it's 10% inflation, your $500 is now worth 10% less. You right. now have $450. And then if you're like, oh, well now I can't buy some of But it's one of these weird things where suddenly, like even here
it's
now,
the
Florida.
Ultimate regressive tax, by the way.
It is.
It's the ultimate regressive yeah. tax inflation because it hits everyone the same way. But people, in other words, that are poor feel it so much more than people who are rich. And it's really, that's the sad part of it all. And when I look at Biden, like it's almost like,
yeah,
it's like a direct line to the policies that he had. And, you know, I think also in line with that, with the Federal Reserve, I guess in some level, they're in a tough spot because, you know, the deficit is so big. They have to keep interest rates down because if rates go up yep. too much, how do they service the debt? It's a tough position. But Biden, it just seems like it's almost like, did you ever get the feeling like they're trying to destroy
yes.
the country?
So it's a feature, not a bug, right? So if it was a bug, it would be like, oh, they're trying to do something good, but they're just incompetent.
Right.
But it's like, no, you guys can't ruin so many things all the time with big government policies that ruin absolutely everything, that keep people in poverty in the name of lifting people out of poverty, that tax people, that crushes the economy, that locks people in their home, that the depression.
Energy, the energy independence taking away for just... Like, it was a shocking move to go from energy independence to energy dependence, watching fuel prices shoot up, ultimate regressive tax on every poor family, and it's just not being the main narrative out there. It's like, it's really weird to me, you know?
Jordan, they're the party for the people, right? The Republicans only like rich people. They literally, Buttigieg, our gay transportation secretary, and I only mention that he's gay because that's the only reason he got the job, and it's very obvious. The guy was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. He right. has no qualifications whatsoever. Anyone in this room is equally as qualified as this guy. But they said, well, he's gay. We got a diversity guy. It's very exciting. We got this trans health secretary who you want to take health lessons from that person. Like, none of it makes any sense. But they hire all these people. My friend Pete Boghossian, who you should interview sometimes, a really brilliant guy, is a philosophy professor. He actually resigned from Portland State University because it was so out of control there with all the bullshit.
He couldn't say what was on your mind anymore, right? Yeah.
No, he couldn't. One of the things that he talks about often is that when any organization or a business, so when you're running a business, the business is there to make money, or it's a nonprofit that's there to get ideas out or whatever it might be. The second you allow the woke thing in, you have taken your eye off the core competency of the business and you will slowly destroy the business.
Yeah.
And that goes for not only businesses, once you decide that you're not gonna hire based on competency, but on skin color or whatever it might be, but for governments. So we have a government that has chosen a health secretary because she's trans, a transportation secretary because she's gay. And not to say that the these people person, shouldn't not, have jobs.
Not of, the best people for the job. Like what, you could what have happened to all the schools? You could have a gay transportation secretary.
Of course
he should be the best person for the job, not because he's, it should be incidental that he's gay or
it,
not, right?
It That's should the point. Be largely irrelevant right. and incidental at best, right?
Right.
But look at all the schools. When we were growing up, what were all the great schools in Queens? Like
Bronx High School of Science.
Yeah.
Stuyvesant, yeah.
Guess what's happened to them? Yeah. They have completely collapsed in the name of diversity and equity, because who did they punish? Well, first they punished the Jews and then they moved them out, right? Too many Jews here because Jews were studying hard and family and
now
all
it's
that
the
stuff.
Now it's the Koreans,
now it's the
right?
Asians.
Yeah,
now it's the Asians.
Yeah,
it's mostly Chinese, but it's Asians of all stripes. Yeah. And they're
Koreans when I was younger. Now it's 50 the Chinese.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? I mean, think of the psychoticness. Harvard has a policy that says we are only going to allow a certain amount of Asians in, and the courts have decided that that's okay. Can you possibly think of something more racist? Why would you choose? Why would you punish an 18-year-old Asian kid who's busted his butt in the name of not racism?
I have a theory on this, all right? And I think that on some level, a lot of the wokeness in corporate America is simply a look here, look at
yeah, yeah.
Look
oh, here. Yeah.
Because they're raping and pillaging the village elsewhere. They're using sweat labor in
yep.
China or India. They're just fucking over the environment. They're just literally raping and pillaging anywhere they can. But we're woke. We're good people. How much do you think of it's really that? It's just a complete false
huge.
Narrative hanging over it. Like an Apple will say, yeah, woke. And they're just like the worst offenders and, you know, everyone out there.
Look at the NBA. It's the best example of this. The entire league has gone woke. I used to be a huge, huge basketball fan. I love playing ball. I don't watch games anymore. I watch old 90s Michael right. Jordan basketball games because I cannot deal with the politics.
Me neither.
So you've got LeBron James telling everyone how racist America is. Meanwhile, he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He's adored by the world. All of the players doing this sort of thing. There are a few exceptions, by the way. Enes Kanter is probably the main one, but there's a couple. But basically, the NBA, why is it doing it? Well, A, it's trying to get into the Chinese market. It's tapped out the market in America. There's no new...
It will not go... They will never condemn anything China does.
No. So you've got coaches and players. Steve Kerr was coach of the... he may still be. I'm not even sure anymore. Coach of the Golden State Warriors, who will every day tell you how racist America is while he works around all black millionaires. And that's great. That's wonderful. He'll keep running around telling you how racist America is. And then if you say to him, is there a problem that... does China have maybe an authoritarian problem? Is it a problem that they're putting these Muslims in camps? Is it a problem that Nike makes their shoes in Hey, can't talk about that. So yes, I think you're right. It's a big distraction. It's kind of keep your eye over here and we're going to be doing all the bad
global
shit
warming too,
over
same
here.
Thing. I have another theory on that, but let me just stick with this for a second. So just speaking of China, I'm going to throw this out there and you might just totally disagree. I fucking have massive respect for China.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
Because they say what they are and they just fucking, they don't pretend to be. They're like, no, we're fucking racist, fucking animals. We hate gays. We hate anyone. We hate trans. No.
Yeah.
It's not good for the values of our people. Fuck all yous. I almost got to respect it in the sense I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
But say, so you know what? I'd rather have that than this fucking nonsense of virtue signaling while the worst offenders of the world are the ones waving the flag about equality and wokeness. I almost rather have the Chinese narrative, which is like, fuck all yous. We're going to destroy the environment. If you don't agree with our policies that we think are good for people, you're going to be thrown in the fuck. I mean, I'm not saying, you understand
my
point?
No, I got you. You're separating the specifics of the policy versus what drives them behind that.
Exactly.
Right? So Well, of course, first off, you mentioned TikTok before. I mean, they don't allow that bullshit into China. TikTok is being exported by China so that 15-year-old boys think that they're girls, so that white people think that they're evil, so that they can literally, so that
it's
basically,
it's information warfare. They're ingenious. They're fucking geniuses.
They're just sitting back going, boy, I didn't think the West was going to collapse this quickly. This is pretty freaking spectacular. But you know what? What that reminds me of, I mention this on the show all the time. 1977, the original Alien movie. You remember the scene where Sigourney Weaver is talking to the doctor and he's the robot. I don't think you know he's the robot at the time. And they have the alien on the ship and it's killing everybody. And he's telling her how much he admires it. And she can't believe it. What do you mean?
Purpose.
Purpose, singular focus, remorseless. It's exactly what you just described. So you have to give the devil his due. It's like the Chinese, the alien... You don't have to like what they're doing, but if you don't give them the credit to say, hey, you guys have a mission and you are accomplishing that mission, then you'll never defeat them, right? You'll never defeat them. So that's the story of the Alien movie. She realizes how evil this thing is and she has to match wits with something that is remorseless. That's not easy for a human being.
And also I think, you know, with China, like my daughter and I, she's very liberal. But she's coming back, by the way.
Yeah. I remember.
She'll always be liberal. I think there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But her values, she's seeing things as they are, and she's becoming just more center-left, which I think is...
Was she woke?
She was on the verge of going really woke, and then she graduated, and thank God came back to the state. She's still liberal, which is... I have a lot of friends that
that's
wonderful.
Fine.
I think it's great to be liberal if you're young, you know?
I wrote a book defending liberalism. This is good stuff, but it's not what woke is.
Right, exactly. They're a totally different thing, right? So now she's totally, you know, back on the sort of mainstream liberal, which I think is great, right? And maybe she'll get, you know, most people do get more conservative with age, just because you always yearn for the way it was, although I don't know if people are going to be saying that, you know, from this generation.
Right.
But what I was saying is that, and so you have this whole thing, you know, China, but the disagreement that my daughter and I fundamentally have is, what is the most efficient way to lift people out of poverty?
Capitalism, period.
And this is what China got so right. In other words, you have to say, like, okay, they've lifted, like, I think 500 or 700 million people from abject poverty through this ruthless capitalism with no social, you know, social sort of, you know, limitations. You know, they want to build in, get the fuck off the property.
Yeah.
You know, or we'll just plow over you.
Yeah,
you
literally. They'll just build a road over your house. Yeah.
And it's interesting. So I think that, you know, when you look at that, the purity of purpose there, and then you say, well, hey, of course, how could the U.S. compete with that, with, you know, a woke narrative and a sort of paralysis? And I hate to say the two-party system is broken, but it seems like it's broken to me. And I don't really know the solution.
Yeah.
My wife's Argentinian. And I want to hear your opinion. So I want to say one more point here is, and when you go to Argentina, like there, anyone who has any wealth there will say it's done. When's it come back? It's not coming back. The country's never coming back.
Yeah.
The socialists took over, starting with the Peronists, and simply never coming back.
Yeah.
And they look at the United States as the one last bastion. And then my wife said, how could this be happening here? Because she sees now. She said, why don't people realize that socialism is just, it's a death trap, the whole thing. Don't they see Venezuela? Don't they see that it never works? So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, you want to talk to some people who get it. We're in Miami. There's plenty of Cubans and Venezuelans to talk to, by the way.
Yes,
and they hate Joe Biden.
Literally.
They hate Joe Biden and they hate the Democrats. So the Democrats have a huge problem on their hand with that. But the don't come back thing, look. Nothing lasts forever. It's human nature. Nothing lasts forever. The worst things, the worst periods of time don't last forever. The best periods of time don't last forever. Everyone thought the Roman Empire was going to last forever. It didn't. And the Nazis didn't last forever. Like, it's just how it works. So it sort of gets back to what we were talking about earlier about San Francisco and LA. It's like, how much worse does it get? What is the point where someone in LA, where there will be enough destruction, enough of the wealthy people who have gone, all of the beauty of why you wanted to be there, you know, 20, 30 years ago, enough of that will have been destroyed that in essence, somebody will rise out of the ashes. And then they'll,
I don't know,
think
maybe
so
five
yet.
Years? 10 years, 3 years.
I think it's a flashpoint
is needed.
It's probably 5 to 10. My guess is that the flashpoint now, or at least the catalyst that I think could make it happen a little faster, is right now it's so freaking obvious how different life is if you live in Florida than California. So if you would have said, you said to me outside, you were like, you know, when we were growing up, it was like Florida, that's where all the old Jews are. Like nobody thought of Florida. It's like The Golden Girls were in Florida. Like there was nothing kind of cool in Florida. You know, we would go on summer vacation or on winter vacation. I go to Florida for a week, and you hang out on the beach. But it wasn't really something that happened. It's happening here, man. It's so exciting to be here. There is nothing like this in California right now.
How much of
it? So it will
become
the governor's incredible. So I had dinner with him actually at the governor's mansion about 2 weeks ago. It was off the record, so I can't repeat anything that was said. But I will tell you this: this is a good man.
I've never seen someone on the right side of every decision. Like this guy is on the right side of every fucking decision, and it's amazing.
And
by the way,
I'll tell you, it's not only that, it was very obvious to me he's smart, but something else. It's like he has a strong
moral center. I think he does, and then he's not swayed by external. He's guided by his own moral compass, and he's not externally validated. He's internally validated, which is a really big important thing for a leader.
That's it. I was gonna say he has the innate. There's something like he was talking. We had this talk. It was about 10 of us, and he was just talking about how he made decisions in the craziness of COVID. Those first few weeks, everybody lock it down. Put everyone in masks, gloves, and don't let anyone touch anybody. And he just felt, well, hold on a second. And by the way, this guy, he's, I think, 42, 43 years old. He has a great pedigree through the military and everything. Like he's lived a good life.
He's a real, but
I think it's cliche. Some people are born to lead, and some people lead maybe the way a Trump would lead. So it's like, it's bravado and show and over the top. This guy, he doesn't, it's weird. It's like, I've been around a lot of politicians. I've never been around a politician that it struck me as, not only is he just like a regular dude and we sat around and smoked cigars. I don't even smoke cigars, but we sat around. Conservatives, they love cigars. That's the thing. I like whiskey. You're a whiskey guy too. And by the way, you have a freaking awesome collection of Clos Azul downstairs.
There's a reason for that, by the way. I took a test that I'm allergic to everything but tequila, it turns out. So I got every type of tequila in the world.
I'm not amazed. I mean, you got the what was that? Dios de la Muerte is down there.
I got the Ultra. I got the, yeah, oh, I'm, it's a, I'm,
all I'm the, yeah, it. The good stuff. I've learned that conservatives, they love whiskey and they love cigars. I like tequila and weed. So, you know, what are you going to do? Nobody's perfect. Why did I whisper weed there? I don't know. I think you've been around the block, it's the devil's. But he struck me as a guy that he has power because it's where his life led him, but his quest is not power. I know that sounds cliche and sort of ridiculous, but he struck me as a very decent guy. And I think so. To the point, I think what will happen is it will just be increasingly and increasingly obvious. Sort of like before about the, you know, guy that's not vaccinated getting COVID while the guy who is vaccinated getting it. And then it's suddenly in your pores. It's in your life, right? You're like, wait a minute, none of this makes sense anymore. And I think what's going to happen is the people in California and New York are going to keep looking at us. And they're going to go, what the fuck is going on down there? They're living their lives. They're living free. They're politicians. AOC, she locks down her people so she can go. I almost went. It's a couple blocks from you. You know, the bar she was at? She was right here. She was on Collins Avenue, like right here. And it's like, you evil. What is evil? What could be more evil? What's the word for someone like her? Because hypocrite isn't enough. You lock down your own people. You call DeSantis evil and a Nazi and God knows what you're saying about him. And you vacation here. There is a word.
Okay, so why?
Starts with a C, my friend.
Yeah, so why do you think?
See, I'll say retard, but the other one, it's like,
it's a tough one. It's tough. Except in Australia.
But it's true. They love it.
I couldn't believe it. I was down there like, I'm like, what? Yeah. What do you mean? Anyway.
Table for two. All right. Yeah,
yeah, kangaroo, right? Right? It's unbelievable. Yeah. Right? So that's the one word I never say, by the way. Yeah. Like, it's any woman in the air, right? But not a kangaroo, you know?
No, kangaroo is
kangaroo, right. You can call to a kangaroo. Anyway, so why do you think she would be that politically tone deaf?
No, because it's not tone deaf. It's intentional.
It's just simply... Is that she knows the liberal press won't call her out on it?
Yes. So it's partly Democrat privilege, right? There's only really one privilege in America, in my estimation. It has nothing to do with your skin color, and it actually doesn't even have anything to do with how much money you're born with. It's political privilege that you can get away with things as a Democrat, as a lefty, that you simply cannot the other way around. So Ted Cruz, remember when there was that storm in Texas and he had a family vacation plan and there wasn't much he could do, but he was on the phone the whole time and they're going crazy that I don't even know that he even made it to Mexico. He was gone for 3 days. He didn't, but they, you know, he's evil. But AOC can vacation here. Eric Swalwell can vacation here. Evil, evil Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan.
Probably the worst of all.
Who's locking down her people. Wouldn't let people garden in the front of their houses at the beginning of COVID. And she's vacationing down here. You know, DeSantis is selling a shirt with all the Democratic politicians at the city that they vacation. Like it's a tour, like a rock band shirt. But it's intentional, meaning they want to flaunt it in your face. And that's why whenever I go now to a hotel or whatever, I try to tell everyone that I interact with at a hotel, the behind the desk or the bellhop or the janitor, if I interact with anybody, I'm not kidding. If I'm walking a hallway and there's a janitor walking by, I'll always say to them now, hey, you don't have to wear the mask because of me. Because I want these people to understand that I'm not above them. And for some reason, we've now created this really twisted class thing
The servants wear masks.
No. Yeah, servants wear masks. Hey, how about some chains? Maybe we should put a chain. And we whip them every now and again. Wouldn't that be nice? Like, these people are freaks.
Like, what's happened?
Yeah, I can't imagine it because it's happening here.
So, do you think... Okay, so this is Florida, right? And then, I guess, what would be the next best... And you can't count, like, you know, like, I guess, what's her name is in... North Dakota, it's a little too...
North Dakota, yeah.
Most people couldn't really imagine that as being a model, but maybe Texas as being another bastion.
I would say Tennessee is probably the...
Tennessee
is probably real number two. Nashville is freaking exploding.
I've had some good friends that moved to Nashville. They say it is fucking believable.
Joy. It's like people are walking around with a lot of joy. Like they're thriving. You know, Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro's company, they moved 100 people down there. They're hiring like crazy. Like there's an excitement and people know why they're there. So I'd say Florida is number one because also the brand of, I don't want to call this conservatism, the brand of sort of just like freedom, like you're into freedom.
It's good, by the way. It's a great, I'm glad you said that. Keep going.
After
you're done.
Because if guys like you and I are conservatives in a real sense of that, then the whole thing, then these words just make no sense.
Right.
So I don't mind if someone says to me now, because a lot of people say, Dave, I watch your show. You're like the conservative that I can listen to. But what they really mean by that is, you care about freedom and you're not a total dick. I mean, that's in essence what they mean. But it's really about freedom. It's about the brand that's happening here in Florida that's a little more secular, right? So Texas has a little more religion, say, attached to it. But America, this is a whole other topic, how you blend the religion and the secular thing. The brand of, I think, freedom-loving sort of conservatism. Again, bad word, and you can clean it up for me. Yeah, whatever that thing is, Florida's got the right version of it. The stuff that DeSantis is selling, it's the right stuff. It's the right stuff right now, yeah.
So let's go to that. So here's an interesting point.
Think of the shit you've done in your life, and they'd run around, Belfort's a conservative now because you care about America, because you care about freedom,
so,
you know?
I've gotten a lot less flack than you have. For, you know, like, yeah. I guess, and I'm pretty vocal about it, but maybe not.
Because you're a vice guy, that's why. You're known for vices, so it grants a leash, like, right?
I mean, so here's the thing that really bugs me about it, all right? I couldn't give a fuck if you're gay or straight.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a fuck if you're trans or fucking non-trans. I couldn't give a fuck about what religion you are.
Yeah.
I don't care about the color of your skin. Why would you? But I always say I'm prejudiced against two types of people, lazy people and stupid people, right?
Yeah.
And I don't understand, like, there's something almost wrong with the GOP. Why can't we get that message out more clearly that, like, the GOP, it's the inclusive party.
Trump almost did it, but
there's something about him that... The message, like, the message is so toxic
that
it's almost, he becomes bigger than the message itself.
That's it. he had the right message. He was talking about all of the things that had nothing to do with the myopic bullshit, even though he could tweet about myopic bullshit all day. The best example of this, I mentioned it on my show today. You remember, I think it was before, it was when he was running for president and Obama was still president. And there was that whole thing about the trans bathrooms. I think it was in North Carolina, right? And they asked Trump, I'm not even totally sure if he was running yet or it was just when he was just tweeting from the office in New York City. But they said, well, what do you want to do about trans bathrooms? And he goes, I'm a builder. I build hotels. If you want me to build one bathroom in the lobby, that'll be just fine with me. And it's like, that's the right answer. Like,
I think that
that's the answer.
I think that was a really bad call on the right. Like
to make it
like,
an issue.
Caucus of fuck. I mean, let people decide on the state level. I mean, I guess they could decide how they want, or the owner of a hotel. Like, I just think that I really am upset. It really bothers me that it seems like the bad guys are winning.
Trump almost broke the machine in that regard. He really did. Trump does not care if you're black. Trump does not care if you're gay. I think I told you, I'll just do it in 20 seconds. I mean, I met Trump with my husband at Mar-a-Lago. He's sitting there. Junior introduces us. We're at dinner. He was sitting, so I was standing above him. He looks at me and he's like, wait, I kind of recognize you. I was like, oh, I'm on Fox a lot. He turns to David. He goes, well, who are you? He goes, well, I'm his husband. He goes, husband, I can't believe it. He slaps his hand on the table. He goes, he stands up. He shakes our hands. He goes, guys, I just want you to know, I don't give a shit and nobody else gives a shit. He's like, Melania, can you believe it? These guys are gay. They're just too handsome. That's their problem.
That too, by
the way. Yeah. And you don't give a shit. And that's the point.
Right.
And by the way, I don't give a shit that you're straight or anything else. I like
gay.
You guys.
I wish I was gay.
What
are women
you
are so tough. I mean, it's so fucking tough. I love guys. I just, I'm not gay, but like I get along great with guys and it'd be great if I could just have, and then, but you know, make sure my wife doesn't listen to this episode. But the point, women are so
wait, your mom is supposed to listen and your wife can't.
So
that tells you right.
Complicated. It's just fucking tough.
But, it's a lot of mental gymnastics for you people.
They have a lot more to say. Like every word I say, she's got 100 words to say, and I'm a speaker. Okay, it's like anyway. But getting back to this, I'm onto something very important, and the reason is I think that someone needs to come along that can get this message out. As you said, Trump almost did it.
Yeah.
But like,
but the messenger has to be better.
And the message, and also like some, like why is it like, okay, so why would New York Times, why are they such lying scumbags? Like why?
Like because they like the power structure. They used to be all the news that's fit to print, and maybe you know the new meme that's out there now is like, well, were they always lying about everything? And by the way, there's
probably
a lot of, there's a lot of evidence that they've
like,
lied about
Walter
it all.
Was Walter Cronkite as great as everyone says he was? Or
right.
There just was no other voice around. Right.
We enshrine him. We think about it, or even you know, so Walter Cronkite. It's a little bit before our time. So like, if you think about say Peter Jennings and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, it's like we think of them as that they were these very serious people, and they sat at a desk and they told us the truth and they talked like this and they with the suit was nice and the hair was, you know, but it's like, maybe, I don't know, were they bullshitting more? So is it now that the internet has allowed us to see this plurality of opinion, this
they like trying to stop it, but you know,
think about the easiest example of this is that they ran Biden literally in his campaign announcement video said that the reason that he was running for president after 4 years off, because, you know, he took the 4 years after Obama, the reason he was running because of Charlottesville, because Donald Trump said there were very fine people on both sides, meaning that the white supremacists are very fine. If you've watched that interview that Trump gave at the press conference right after Charlottesville, we've played this on my show a million times. It should be played everywhere, every day, until every one of the liars at CNN are exposed. Trump literally says, I don't mean the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis, his line, who should be condemned completely. And then he says there were very fine people on both sides, meaning that of the debate about statues, which of course is true.
Of course is true.
That to me is like, they can get away with everything because now we even have the internet and they still get away with shit. So imagine what they could get away with 20 years ago, 40 years ago.
So if it's getting back to this idea, like with the New York Times and also just like, there's every organization, a system wants to preserve itself.
Yes.
Right. There's almost like this natural tendency towards that. But have to believe there are good people at these organizations. I would think that there's good people there that do love America. Well, maybe no, they've been purged. They've been purged over time or brainwashed.
Yes. So I would say at a place like the New York Times, there probably isn't that many good people in terms of like, I am a true journalist. I want to tell people what the truth is. I want to remove myself from the story and I want to report. I mean, you could just listen. I actually have plenty of issues with her, but Barry Weiss, who left the New York Times, who was a lefty her whole life, you know, and basically
she left
said,
because they were too.
Because they were too crazy for her.
Yeah.
So that, and by the way, I think she's, I have issues with her. It's not important right now, but like the point is it was too left for her. So
Lucifer says hell is too hot and he's leaving.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go to Florida in the summer. Yeah, it's a little cooler.
Yeah.
It sort of goes to your definition of good people. So it's like, is everyone that works at the New York Times, are they like an evil horrible person who's a horrible parent and just trying to intentionally put evil? It gets to back what you're saying about intentions. It's like, I don't believe that they're like, they wake up with evil in their heart, but I think bad ideas are pathogens in the brain. I mean, Gadsad wrote a great book about this called The Parasitic Mind. You can get bad ideas in people's mind. And the woke thing, again, you got to give it credit. It did something to human society and the Western world that no one could have imagined. Could any of us have imagined this 5 years ago? I was talking about it a little bit on my show because I was going to colleges and I saw something crazy on college campuses, like really nuts. And I'd talk about it on the show and all the trolls would say to me, no, Dave, you know, these kids will get out into the real world and they'll, you know, the real world will show them who's boss. And then next thing you know, the real world folded pretty quickly. What do you think? I mean, do you think that they're, I know you don't think they're all bad people. So it's like, it's sort of like, what's the definition of bad or what's the definition of evil?
I think it's some, again, some of it goes to back to every time you think that the ends justifies the means.
Yeah, you'll just do.
So they have right. There's a belief system there that we're righteous and we're on the right side. And there's just a need for social justice. And because of that, we need to frame things a certain way for the greater good. And every time you do that, then objectivity goes out the window. That's part of it.
Well, look, there were Nazi soldiers who 2 years before Nazi Germany were not evil people.
Right.
That's the point, right? That's the point. They were parents. They were school teachers.
I think the bigger problem. So if you start to divide this up into like, so what are the things that the left is able to hold on to? What are the pillars of morality? Well, one of them is gay rights. Somehow they became, they're the protector of gay rights.
Which shouldn't be, by the way. You know what protects
gay? Biggest miss on the right ever, by the way.
Protects
the right hijacking the party for way too long. Biggest miss ever, right?
By the way, which was done by Ken Melman, who was a closeted gay man working for George W. Bush, who was dealing with his own evil, right. His own internal...
So fucking sad.
And then he made that a wedge issue in Bush's reelection. And but you're right.
Such a terrible miss.
Gay rights. First off, so okay. America has rights, equal rights for everybody. But yeah.
Fixable.
Yeah.
So it's fixable. I think it's
happening.
It's happening now. Yeah. Okay. It's clear the Republicans are embracing it, they know, right?
Yeah.
Loving minorities. I think that's fixable easily. The
completely.
Message, Trump did a lot for that. And I think it's heading in the right direction. There's one thing I think that is a huge problem.
What is it?
Global warming. Climate control, because it's so fucked up.
Yes,
because you can't buy into it too much because it has massive economic impact. So there's a real. Listen, I love the environment as much as anybody. And I remember the Indian with the fucking tear.
On the horse riding
and sees the garbage and he cries. Yeah. That hit me. I was crying as a kid. That. And so I don't like. I was taught don't shit where you eat. Of course, I want a beautiful, clean environment. I want there to be, protected. But, I also think that it's the biggest fucking hoax. Like the whole thing about like global war. I think it's a fucking hoax, a giant fucking. That doesn't mean I don't believe they should be protecting the environment. I just think that's stop with that stuff. But the problem is the left uses that with such deftness to mobilize young people and to get them impassioned. And then that's the start of this ends justifying the means. So how do you combat that when you can't adopt their policies? Because here's the thing with the stuff with gays, they were right, the left.
Right.
Like, and you have to adopt, they were right about that stuff. They were right about minorities in some levels.
Yeah.
Any stuff that was stupid and antiquated and had to end, they were fucking right, even though Democrats were the biggest racists ever back when before 19, but that's a separate issue. But the point is, they were smart. They flipped, they fucking smart. No, They did a great flip, and that they rewrote history, and they're still pulling down the fucking monuments to end the rewriting of history, right? But the point is, how do you combat that? Because there's a real problem. Look what happened with shutting down oil production. It has real impact on all these extra layers that you're doing here. They cause things to be more expensive. They stop energy independence. So what do you do with that?
Ugh. Give me a lot there. Well, first off, capitalism and the use of fossil fuels and energy and coal plants and all of these things, while they are imperfect at some level, I would say capitalism is as close to perfect in terms of an open system as you can get that humans can create, because humans are imperfect, so you can't create a perfect system. But it has brought everybody up. Look what happened. I mean, India is the best example, if you want something in the last 50 years. China also. But like, it's just so obvious that when countries go through their own industrial revolution and allow the human mind to invent and expand and do all those things, it helps everybody, right? So we all get that. So your greater point, though, of that they've made it basically so profoundly toxic to question the narrative at all. Well, I don't know. In human history, wouldn't you say you should be allowed to question things? Weren't there outsiders that questioned things about the church? Wasn't there this guy? Who is this guy? There was a Jew somewhere in Bethlehem. I think he was born. He had abs and he wore flip-flops. And I think he was questioning some things that were going on with the powers that... Right. I forget his name. But
short-term for him. Ended up well in the long-term for him. Yeah.
Right.
Short-term pain, long-term pleasure.
Exactly. So the point is that questioning the system and fighting the system is good. So yes, have they done something that, again, you got to admire it.
Absolutely.
AOC creates this crazy situation where if you don't think that the world is going to end in 12 years,
7 years.
No, right. So now she's around 8 years. Yeah. Something like that. So she had 12 years, right? 4 years ago, but now she'll also put forward policies that, of course, she doesn't write, but she puts forward policies that now it's, now it's 2034.
We've delayed it now. Yeah.
And by the way, you can find Time Magazine, 1978, the world is cooling. So without getting into all the craziness around like what's actually happening or any of that, your point is right, which is they've created something so freaking toxic, but now what do you do? Because young people have been brainwashed by it. And you're saying, well, how do you get young people over the hump with this? I don't know exactly the answer to that. There are a couple like sort of conservative young organizations that are talking more about competitive things, but it's like, we shouldn't be afraid of green energy. We should be afraid of using green energy in the name of destroying old industries that shouldn't be destroyed just for the sake of destruction. But really what they've done is something that psychologically you got to admire. They tell young people, you're 15 years old and you hear AOC tell you the world's going to end in 12 years. You're 27. You're going to be in the prime of your life. The world's going to end. And only if you give me enough power, which means enough money and enough resources and everything else. And only if AOC, who's never done anything, she's never accomplished anything. She was a bartender who became a politician. That's not that accomplished. But if only you could let her policy about how the world should be organized pass, then you're an evil person. And not only that, and here's the real perverse part that they've done. Your parents are all evil too, because they didn't do jack shit about it. And your grandparents, well, they're racist because they didn't do anything about the thing before that. And their grandparents on slavery and everything else. So they've done something. And that's also why this is all tied to that America's founding was evil and slavery was the driving force of America. Of course, that's obscenely absurd. But you see what they've done. You have to admire it. That's the theme. If we've got a theme today, you got to admire it because they did something admirable. It's not admirable.
Well,
they
did something incredibly evil.
It's incredibly
clever,
evil.
Like dastardly master plan shit, right?
Yeah.
And I think on some level, I hate to say it because it sounds so terrible, but it's like McCarthy was right in more ways than you could have imagined, in the sense he went about it in a terrible way. But like what happened was, and I don't know if people are going to say, how could you say that? But the socialists escaped into the educational institutions and played a very long game. They played a very, very long game. And that long game has been to slowly but surely shift this narrative and start brainwashing generation after generation. And then you have this intersection with this sort of revenge of the nerds situation where the people who were always picked last, that were brilliant people, became tech billionaires that can sort of control the flow of information and didn't want anyone for their own to feel the same pain they felt in maybe seventh grade when they get picked for the road and like the girl didn't like them, whatever.
Yep.
So you have almost these two things colliding, and you meant to say, why is the world the way it is? It's because of that, I believe. I think it's a combination of this sort of this long, incredibly insidious, evil game played by the socialists that really just slowly got the institutions of education and sort of brainwashing our kids more and more. And then it was the punctuation with social media by tech titans who mostly were not popular in their younger years. And for their own, not that they were evil, but they didn't want people, they probably felt people shouldn't feel the pain of, it should be not like an egalitarian society because everyone should be equal. Everyone should get a trophy because I didn't get one.
Yeah, I think you're really onto something here. Think about Mark Zuckerberg. You saw the movie, like everyone saw Social Network. He wanted to get laid. He was a nerd who wanted to get laid. He ends up creating an industry. He ends up creating a conglomerate that is so freaking powerful and organizes so much information that I don't think he's inherently an evil
person. No, I don't think he's evil at all, by the way. I think
he's probably a little over his head, and he, you know.
I just interviewed Ben Mezrach.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's come out yet, but he wrote the book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Accidental Billy, great guy, you should interview him. And we spoke about Mark Zuckerberg, and he said that, you know, yeah, he was unpopular. He wanted that, but he really had, like, he had his own life, thought the world would be a better place. He didn't think like I'm gonna go and destroy everything. And you know what starts to happen? You start getting high on your own supplies. I don't, you know, maybe at some point, who knows what happened, that he'd be turned evil. I don't think he's probably a terrible person, although.
Well, I'll tell you this though.
But though, what he did, you know, influencing an election like that so profoundly, obviously now it takes on a very different color.
You know? Right. So, you know, you could start off pretty good and then, you know,
there goes my Instagram engagement. There we go. Why am I hence at only 2 million followers when I can't walk down the street without getting 20 pictures taken? But who knows? Coincidence, probably.
Let's not question the people that know better.
No, what's happening in the world.
The algorithms are pure. They should not be questioned, much like AOC and climate change. Let's just leave them. But yeah, it's something like that. Like you intend to do something and your intentions are probably pure. And you know, in any business, any good business, bad business, you have to do things, right? Like you did things that some of the things you were proud of and you made awesome decisions and some of the things you didn't and made bad decisions and all of those things, but you keep going. And then at some point, I guess the forks in the road keep forking. And then next thing you know, I mean, let's put it this way. Do you think Mark Zuckerberg's kids, his children, I don't know how many children he has, but you think they're on Facebook? No fucking way. No fucking way. Do you think his kids have iPads? No fucking way. Or at least not unsupervised. And do you think his kids, whatever elite private school, most likely at home that they go to, you think they teach them any of that woke bullshit? No fucking way. So at some point, and the same would go for Tim Cook.
There'll be a reversal again, you think? I'm hoping, by the way, that some of that might happen, that people in power, because now they're in power, their kids don't feel the pain they felt, and they're taught different things growing up, and it starts. But I do fear educational institutions, that they've really gone off the fucking wall.
We just hired my associate producer, was my intern. He's been going to college, and he was just like, what's the point? Can I come work for you? And we just hired him. He moved down here. I think he gets here next week. And it's like, why? What are you doing? You're getting into debt for no reason. You're not even going to class anymore. They're locking you down. You're not even getting the social part of college, right? Where you should at least be getting drunk and getting laid. You're not even doing that anymore. So it's like, all right, we're going to now give you a real job. And you're gonna basically jump in your life. You know, you're going to power up in your life. You're going to level up right now and hopefully do awesome things now. So it's like they've created all the pressures. The whole system is whacked. But within that, I mean, you know this better than anyone. Within that, it's like, if you can find opportunity, find something cool to do, we have a great chance. But it's a lot better from Florida.
If you want to grow your business, you want to diversify your content, this is a product that I 1,000% believe in and use myself every day. And it's been a game changer for me, making more money for me than any other app I've used that's even close to this. It's called Melon. And Melon is a web-based live streaming studio that makes streaming easy and lucrative. It is literally the best out there by a country mile. And I'm looking you in the eye. I'm telling you, that's a fact. Go to live on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube in just 5 clicks. All of them at once. You're not going to find a better tool out there than Melon for your live streaming needs. Impossible. Better streaming in HD, recording functionality, real-time audience interaction. You get everything with Melon. So start streaming with Melon today. Go to melonapp.com/wolf. That's Melon, MelonApp, melonapp.com/wolf. Sign up for a free account. Because of me, it's free, by the way. You get a high-performance professional live streaming tool for free. It's blazing fast. The response time is like that. Low CPU usage. It's all available right in your browser. Go to melonapp.com/wolf and start streaming today. This is a no-brainer. If you don't try this, honestly, then you must not like making money online. Will you see the world with this upcoming, you know, midterm election, and where do you see it the next May? What do you think happens?
So I had Marco Rubio on the show this morning, and I asked him, and, you know, he said, you know, the worst thing you could ever do is when you're feeling good about an election, say you're feeling good about an election, because then you depress the vote and your people think that it's not going to happen, all that. I think that by any estimation, the Republicans are going to win in like some kind of crazy landslide. Take the House back for sure. I think that there really is a chance they take back the Senate. And then look, I don't consider myself a Republican, even though, again, most of the things I talk about here, and it's like, all right, so Belfort and Rubin are conservatives, like, what? But would it be, would the state of America be much more effective if the people roughly that are considered Republicans now were pretty much in charge? And what would they be going for? Well, they'd be going for, you have to have an ID to vote. That doesn't strike me as racist. They'd be saying, you know, states shouldn't lock you in your house. They'd be basically fighting for some sensible tax policies, or at least not crazy draconian tax policies. Like, what is it that people really fear they might do? Are they going to truly round up the gays? No. Are they going to pass laws so that black people can't do things? No. Would I expect, I don't want them to do anything great. I mean, that's the thing. I don't need a politician that can do any great stuff. We've done the great stuff in America. We're equal, we're here. I just want people that stay the hell out of my life. So my hope is that they win in like serious landslide numbers. Do you want DeSantis to run for president, or do you want him to stay here?
I want him to run for president.
I want him to stay.
You want him to stay? Because I here's what I think. I think that if he runs, my guess is, I'm going to totally guess here, Suarez will run for governor. He's a great guy too.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, Suarez.
Yeah, I've met him a couple times.
I think he would replace DeSantis, hopefully. DeSantis becomes president, and I think he'd be an amazing president. Although, I don't know, is Trump run again? What do you think?
My guess is Trump is going to run again, but I will only hedge that by saying, you know, he created this media company that went public and they've got like $4 billion or something crazy. So he obviously has some plan outside of politics, but it sounds like he's going to run. My preference would be that DeSantis stays here. It's so obvious that the state you live in is more important than the presidency right now. Like, look where we live. Look why we came here, man. Like, he has done something so good. And if we can get a couple more years out of him and strengthen that here, to me, that's more important. However, I like what you just said. Suarez is good. This city is freaking flourishing. You know, it really, really is. And it's like, if that plan could really be laid out, Trump steps aside and does all the dirty work for DeSantis, you know, just helps him along. Like, right. I'm not going to be the guy right now, but I'll do the rallies and I'll fight the media and go be a decent man that you are.
Right.
And then they could somehow figure out a situation where Suarez could then move in. Now you got something I like. But that being said,
let me ask you a
keep Florida,
question.
Florida.
Let's just say that DeSantis runs and wins. What position should Trump have in the cabinet?
Oh, man. There's like all sorts of theories. You know, they've heard all, there's so many theories on this, like what all the crazy shit that they could do. What could he really?
Secretary of Branding?
Yeah, that's it. Like Secretary of Hotels. You know, Trump. I wish I understood him a little bit more, because, you know, you hear all these interesting things about him, and like the people that know him best, so many of them say he's a good guy. And I believe he is. I really do believe he is a good guy. You know, you can watch Trump videos from the 80s.
I can't believe you just said that. Like,
the Donahue ones, you watch them. Yeah.
So here's my theory on Trump. I think. Yeah. Trump, if you watch those videos,
yeah, people should watch him from the 80s. Amazing. Watch him on Letterman, watch him on Donahue.
His views haven't changed much.
No, but Oprah saying run for president one
his
day.
His delivery,
yeah,
was astoundingly great and humble,
thoughtful.
I think what happened to Trump is, I think he was really impacted negatively by the bankruptcies in the early 90s and what a lot of people said about him, and I think that That would fuck with anyone's head a little bit. And I think that, you know, he did have a major comeback, which is all the power to him. But I think that the way he made his money on the comeback was in not sort of a traditional businessman Wall Street way, and it was more of a showman.
Yeah.
So I don't think he has the respect of the traditional billionaire community. I think that bothers him somewhat.
Yeah.
And I think that in some level, his message, he almost became a character of himself, because like he was a TV character, he needed to become a character. And then he became a character of that character.
Yeah, that's a great.
But I still think he's the same good man he always was. And I think he's a really smart, clever guy. And I think that he's also like the unfunny comic in some level. Like he just can't get the punchline right. He says it and like anyone else could say that. And everyone's like, ah, he's like, racist pig. It's like yeah. He does bring some of it. He does some things and brings
himself. Of course, he has a lot of self-inflicted wounds. But you know, when people were always saying during his presidency, oh, he should just stop tweeting now. My feeling was, even though I didn't like some of it, obviously, my feeling was, you know, you're telling the guy who did the thing that no one said could be done
right.
to do things your way. And it's like, what have you done? So I always granted him a long leash on that. But I think that's basically right. And if you watch some of those old videos, especially there's one on Donahue particularly, and one with Oprah, where
so good.
You're totally right. His affect and his demeanor, it's soft.
And the message is identical.
Soft. But the message is the same exact message. Populist message. But then I think you're right. What happened was the system kept
hardened him.
And he started getting more orange. And he started getting a little more puffy. And his hair went from crazy to crazier.
Yeah.
But the thing that was inside of all was basically the same decent thing. So the real question now is, can he set aside the ego to really do what's right for the country? Yeah. Which I think is what you just laid out there with DeSantis. But again, I'm high on Florida, man.
Let's end on a low point.
Okay.
What do you think of Leah Thomas?
Leah Thomas, the actress?
The swimmer. Isn't it Leah?
That's the Leah trans. Thomas, is that the trans? Oh,
Leah? No,
wait. Who is the girl
Leah Thomas, isn't it?
Is it Leah Thomas? Oh, I'm thinking of Leah Thompson. I think that was the girlfriend in Back to the Future.
Leah Thomas. L-I-A.
Is that it?
What is it?
The trans.
Come on.
Well, we know what we're talking about. We'll get the name in a sec.
Is it Leah? Hold on. Leah Thomas.
Leah. Okay. I was thinking
of. Your question.
Remember Leah Thompson? She was the girl in Back to the Future.
So. She didn't age well.
Right? Yeah. Ask me what happened to her. I don't know. Did she die this morning?
In Hollywood, it's like death and you don't age well. You could play a mascot or a voiceover in a fucking cartoon, but other than that, you're done, right?
Yeah.
So Leah, to me, and you know I'm like the most socially liberal.
Again, I know you
I'm
don't give a shit.
I'm most socially liberal. Like, what the fuck?
It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
How is
Let's
it
just
fair to
it's
women.
Not.
And like, okay, she's a woman. She's behaved women, whatever. You want to say that, fine. But how is it fair? Do you look at her? She's fucking, wouldn't get into a ring with her. She's fucking twice my, there's no way that's fair.
Did you see the video that somebody did where they sped up the swim match? So they did a thing, you know, because you go one side, you go the other way, and someone did it on, you know, they triple speed or something. And you just, it's like, she's playing a different game altogether. Yeah, and it's like, look, we all know this is bullshit. Everyone's afraid to say what they think. Why isn't it that there aren't females that transition to males and then start dunking over NBA players? We all know what's going on. No, because it's everything that we've talked about here. People are sheep. They're cowards. They're afraid to say something true. I mean, isn't that the lesson of the last 2 years?
But more isn't than it like else? A hollow victory for her? How does it make her feel good? Like, how could that possibly inert?
It's something for the ego. In her bed at night.
Transgender rights, because I think it angers people very deeply. Like, to me, I'm so liberal about that. So I don't give a fuck. But it angers me for the girls.
No, of
that
course.
Are work their whole lives. And they just like, I mean, it's just not fair.
We got the trans health secretary. What's her name? Now we're going through all the trans names. Rachel Levine, right? Is the deputy health secretary saying our surgeon general in America, who should know a little something about science and biology, tweeted out congratulations to the first female deputy health secretary. And it's like, no, she's not female. You could have said congratulations to the first openly trans member of the cabinet or trans, something like that. But they're lying about basic truths. Mm. Jordan, were you born with a penis?
Yeah, it was.
There was a penis there. So guess what? I don't know what's going on there now. You're a man. You are a man. Yeah,
and I get that. I would never argue.
Sorry,
with
buddy.
I wouldn't argue with
you.
You
put on a dress, you're still a man.
My view is a little different than yours. I wouldn't realize that. I don't care what you want to.
No, I don't care either.
You want to say you're a woman? I don't. Okay, it makes you. I think everyone.
No,
should
no,
be
but you
happy.
Don't want. You don't
you
want.
You can't force other. When, the problem I have is when you force me.
Yes.
To feel the same way as you do, but yes. Everyone should have the right to call themselves what they want, do what they want, unless it starts to impinge on my rights or these. It's unfair. Like they're destroying the sport. That's like to me. I don't really. These labels are always annoying. Of anything, anytime labels are used, it just and sometimes you just need labels. But to me. It just what really bugs me about it is that like it I mean, are you guys all blind? I mean it's just not fucking fair. Like how could you be on the side that says this is okay? I don't get that.
By the way, if all of this didn't matter, if gender doesn't matter and none of these things are real and they're all social contracts, okay, so let's just actually not have men and women sports and let's do it on pure meritocracy. Let's do it on pure skill and let's see what happens. And guess what? It ain't gonna work out that well for them. So that's why it's all what I mean by because I do think we're in agreement here. What I mean by the you don't want them lying about the truth of language.
Right.
That's the difference. I don't care what you do in your privacy of your own home. There's plenty of people that don't like what I do in the privacy of my home. There are plenty of people that don't like my relationship. Okay, so be it. As long as you're not outside my house with a pick, you know, with torches, and as long as you're not fighting to take away my rights or imprison me, you are welcome to have your beliefs. That's what America's all about.
I think also, I think to compare gay to transgender is not a fair comparison because I think fucking half the world is gay.
Yes.
It's probably like 25% are out of the closet, 25% just haven't said it yet.
Numbers could be way.
I don't fucking know, but like it's like everyone is at least fucking. I have to say it, right?
Yeah.
But like so, I think it's just like it's like any repression against gays is because the people repressing the closet
always,
gays.
Always.
You know that, right?
It's every single time.
I don't think that's the same thing going on with transgender. I think it's a very small minority. They deserve not to get, as you said, people shouldn't be doing things to hurt them. They deserve to have their happiness in life as well.
Of course.
But not at the expense of girls that like worked their whole life swimming since they were 5 years. That just annoys the shit out of me.
Because what are you doing to the other girls? So that's the irony is the left and the wokesters and the feminists are sacrificing actual girls.
Exactly.
At the altar of wokeness, right? Like they're sacrificing them. But also, you know, the difference between, and Douglas Murray wrote a great book where he Douglas Murray, who's a gay conservative, who's a great guy, good friend of mine. He, in his book, he separated woke trans from gay when he does the chapters because he said these things have nothing to do with each other. I have no more insight into the trans mind than you do, right?
Exactly. Like, that's my point. I think they're very different situations.
They're completely different. But also think about it this way. There is no evidence, I don't think, anywhere, and I have never heard of a story of a gay person who went against all of their innate feelings of the world, who then married the opposite sex and went on to live a fully
sexual.
It just doesn't exist.
Nonsense, right?
But now think about this. With trans people,
many of them go back.
With trans people, not only do many of them go back or whatever, or have like lifelong struggles with it, but many of them find that once they do, and Jordan Peterson talked about this years ago and got a lot of crap for it. It's such an extraordinary, it's one thing to say I'm attracted to the person of the same sex, right? And there's a way to have sex and it works and you can go live a life together. To say that you live in a body that is not yours and now you're going to physically change your body, meaning remove your genitals,
hormones.
Add or remove breasts, hormones, you're gonna do all of this. And then at the end of that adventure, at the end of that process,
to still feel inadequate.
That you will then be whole and the world will treat you as whole. It's a huge lift.
This is a huge disaster. I'll tell you why I think it's a disaster, right? And I, again, I'm very pro.
Right. That's not to deny anyone the ability
to
do it. Yeah.
But it's almost the same as success. It's the Lindsay Lohan syndrome. Ooh. I'll tell you what it is.
I got it.
I'll tell you why. Because when you are striving for success, you want to know why I blew up and why I went nuts and lost my shit and ended up imploding? I'll tell you why. Because when I was growing up and I was 16, 17, and I still felt the insecurities that we all feel growing up, and you say, you know what, but I'm going to get rich and I'm going to become I'm going to become powerful and then I'm going to feel great about that. So while you're striving for those goals and you're saying, when I get there, it's going to be this perfect world. I'm going to have all the good feelings and you were waiting for me there, right? And so while you're not feeling okay, you're like, it's okay though, because I know it's coming. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And then guess what? You become powerful, you become rich, you get the nicest girl, and all the things that you thought were going to make you happy, you're like, I'm still the same miserable fucking person I was before.
It's an inside job, man.
And I, you know, I show up, I'm still me. And I think on some level, and again, I'm sure it's not true of all people, but I think sometimes you find people, they think if I go through with that, I'll finally feel good. And they realize that, well, maybe they still should have done it, but it doesn't make them feel good. Like, they're still the person they were inside. And maybe they should have done. I'm not judging whether they should do it or not.
Yes.
I just don't think it's that you change so much the way you feel, whether it's in success, whether it's having surgery. It's like you always end up arriving where you were. It's like, I'm a drug addict. I got to get the fuck out of New York. I'm going to fucking California to stop doing drugs. Guess what? I'll figure out FedEx can send me the drugs. You arrive wherever you are. The drugs fucking follow you because you are who you are. And I think that's kind of what's going on in some level with that.
I actually think that's a great point. Like, it's a totally great point. Dude, I forgot what a great conversationalist you are. I really did.
It's probably only 2 hours now. I know. I can keep going. Yeah. Anyway, but no, listen, Davis always...
I got to sign some docs or they're going to kick me out of my house in a minute.
We got to do something together more often. This is so much, too much fun. We agree and disagree on stuff, which is awesome. But we have the same underlying philosophy, which is awesome. But everyone, check out. Where do they find you now? What's your latest stuff you're doing?
RubenReport.locals.com. But more importantly than promotion, dude, the tequila. You're bringing the tequila to my place. Because I got good tequila, but not that stuff.
All right.
Good to see
everyone,
you,
Dave Rubin. Take care. Another great episode of The Wolf's Den. I hope this made you think, pissed you off in some ways, but also opened your eyes up. All right. Take care. Mom, I didn't mean that part about you watching this here. So take care. Have a great day.